I just talked to my father. He's making me quit the play at Henley Hall. Acting's everything to me. He's planning the rest of my life for me, and he's never asked me what I want. I know what he'll say. He'll tell me that acting's a whim and I should forget it. He'll just tell me to put it out of my mind for my own good.
And that's from Dead Poets Society. And that hurts. That hurts to listen to. When you have someone in your life who's powerful and you're living with them, you're dependent on them, whether it's your parents or whether you're living with an abusive spouse, somebody who tells you what you have to do, someone who tells you when you have to do it, someone who tries to control you. And how do you fight for your values? In this case, how does he fight? He wants to go into the theater. He doesn't want to go on his father's path for him in life. Well, with me today to discuss this is somebody who knows how to speak out. She is Lynn Zinser, who is the vice president at the Ayn Rand Center for Individual Rights, which is a division of the Ayn Rand Institute. And Lynn knows the psychological benefits of acting on your values. She is a prominent, passionate intellectual activist, and I want to welcome you, Lynn.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Now, many of us want to speak out. You know, we'll hear something that makes us feel angry or anxious or depressed on the news, and we may yell back at the radio or the TV set, and then we just throw up our hands and say, you know what, you can't fight City Hall. What's the use? But part of us wants to take action. How does anyone overcome their reluctance to speak out?
Well, I think partly you have to have a value that is important to you, that you want to take action about. And then you need to go at the process rationally. You need to examine it, figure out what you can do, what is possible for you.
Yeah.
And then start to educate yourself about it, and
okay,
then take action.
Okay. So like with the current healthcare situation, if you want to fight that battle, I mean, you can fight it in your own home too, with a parent who's telling you how to live your life or how to bring up your kids. And you can do it politically too. If you don't like what's happening in the political scene, then you need to educate yourself first. You need to understand the issues. That's what you're saying?
Yes. And that's exactly what I'm saying.
And it can be very daunting and intimidating at first.
Yes.
And so how do you take the baby steps to even take the first steps into becoming an activist?
Well, I think it differs for every person. But one of the things you can do is set a small goal for yourself. You can set a small goal of writing a letter to the editor. You can set a small goal of saying that I will say to someone who I disagree with, I disagree with you.
Yeah, just as simple as that. I disagree.
Yes.
And if they
you
say...
You do not have to give them the reason.
Okay, but then you sound like an idiot. You know, well, why do you disagree?
Well, then you say, I'm not prepared right now.
Right.
But I want you to understand that I disagree with you.
Okay.
Or it might not be the right time to argue with someone at that point.
Okay.
But just speaking up gives you tremendous sense that you are taking that baby step forward.
Okay, so it helps you break through the barrier and give yourself some, just the beginning step. And of course, that's only step one. Step two would be to say to the person, I'm assuming, something along the lines of, I want to give that more thought. I want to give you a thoughtful response, not just my knee-jerk response. I know I disagree. I want to gather, you know, I want to do more research or gather some, or do my own thinking, and I'd like to get back to you. You know, if the person's
yes,
reasonable. So that's where you start to grow. That's where you start to get immersed in the issues, whether it's healthcare or whether it's something in the personal area. Maybe your parents want you to bring your kids up in a way that you don't want to bring them up. You know, they want you to be more authoritarian, or they want you to be more laid back, and you want none of the above. So it can apply on all levels. Ayn Rand, she's the author of The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged, and an amazing book with the amazing title of, shocking title to many, The Virtue of Selfishness, has said something along the lines of, to refuse to face a fear is to assume that the worst is true. What does she mean by that?
Well, I'll just tell you from my personal experience.
Okay.
Most of the time, the reason that I have refused to face the fear is because I thought that what I imagined was so horrible that I wouldn't know what to do once I faced it, that I would be overwhelmed. But in fact, that's not true. The actual facts were never, have never been as awful as what I imagined.
So give me a quick example of that.
Well, I will just say that the first time that I spoke out on healthcare, that I actually did a talk, I was asked to speak to a group, and I went and I imagined that they were going to laugh at me, that they were going to have questions that I couldn't answer, that they were going to make fun of me or just disregard everything that I had to say.
So you anticipated a hall full of enemies.
Yes, and that wasn't true. There were some that disagreed with me, but everyone was respectful. I had been studying the issue for 4 months at that point.
Holy mackerel.
I did know what I was talking about,
yeah,
to some extent. And, I mean, to as much as I could in 4 months. And I actually, what was really fabulous, as I found out later, there was a gentleman in the audience who kept nodding in response to what I was saying. During the question and answer period, he actually identified himself as a doctor.
Wow.
So here was a doctor actually agreeing with what I was saying during the entire talk.
So it was a gift to both of you.
Yes.
To speak up validated what was going, it crystallized his own thinking, and he validated what, I mean, he's saying, yes, I'm on your side, basically. What did that give you? When you spoke up, what did you then feel? What are the next steps once you have a real wonderful experience like that?
Well, first of all, it gives you confidence. It gives you confidence in yourself that you actually can do this, that you can speak up. And it gives you a sense of integrity that I'm acting to support the values that I care about and that I'm acting as the person that I want to be and think that I can be. Those are self-values that are really important. The other thing that it provides you, as in this case, is there are a lot of people out there who may have and share the same values that you have, who are just as intimidated and scared as you are. And that's what I found in promoting free market healthcare in Colorado, is that once I spoke up, other people responded to that, and they found the courage to speak up as well.
So it's like fireworks going off. Once you light one, you can have a whole lot of good things happening. Fireworks, not bombs. That's wonderful.
Exponential.
Yeah, and so how could people, what website could you give people to learn more about activism?
They could go to the AynRandCenter.org. That's AynRand, center.org. And then if you'll search intellectual activism, there we have a whole page on how to become an intellectual
activist.
Okay,
and there's a lot more information there. Thank you so much, Lynn, for joining us. Lynn Zinser is the Vice President at the Ayn Rand Center for Individual Rights, which is a division of the Ayn Rand Institute. Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you.
And I am always fascinated by the fact that sometimes it's much easier to speak up to a stranger, to be assertive and say what's on your mind to a stranger than it is to the people who are closest to you. It might be much harder to face your dad or your mom or maybe one of your kids and level with them, tell them what's going on in your mind. And how do you give yourself a voice to be able to be true to yourself, to build, as Lynn was talking about, confidence and integrity. And partly you need to know assertiveness skills so you don't come across as aggressive. You idiot, you jerk. That's all called you language. You want to be able to say, I'm feeling frustrated, not you frustrate me. So it's a matter of learning some good skills. And in addition, it's also a matter of knowing your own position well and knowing how to support it. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. Be with you next week on The Rational Basis of Happiness.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner and co-author Dr. Edwin Locke.
Your romantic partner cannot also be your therapist. The roles are totally different. Your partner can be understanding and supportive, but cannot be responsible for your mental health. If you're riddled with self-doubts, fears, and anxieties, don't ask your partner to put you together again. That is your job, along with the help of a professional. Mental health is important, and psychological problems can be resolved. If you seek professional help, put in the effort and do the introspective work. You need not remain a mystery to yourself. You'll acquire the ability to remove the barriers to your happiness, and you'll make yourself more lovable.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com. And you can buy The Selfish Path to Romance at amazon.com.